different, not completely all reading, a little bit about approaching the Lord, in the mood of approaching the Lord, and then some reading. So we don't have the Bhagavatam verse for you, so we're just going to read it because it was hard to decide which verse, and so this verse is from The Brahmin's Wives, blessed from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Krishna wants you to see this verse and meditate on it. Shaimam Hiranya Paritindana Marya Barha Dhatu Pravala Nata Visha Manu Ritamse Vinyasta Hasta Mitarena Dunana Mabjang Karnopalala Kakapola Mukabjahasam. His complexion was dark blue and his garment golden. Wearing a peacock feather, colored minerals, sprigs of flower buds, and a garland of forest flowers and leaves, he was dressed just like a dramatic dancer. He rested one hand upon the shoulder of a friend and with the other twirled a lotus. Lilies graced his ears. His hair hung down over his cheeks, and his lotus-like face was smiling. This is a verse from Sanatana Goswami's Krishna Lila Stava on the glorification of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva shastradi piyusha sarva vedaita satpala sarva siddhanta ratnadya sarva lokaika drikprada sarva bhagavata prana srimad bhagavata prabho kali dvando titaditya shri krishna parivartita. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, O most prominent, transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnav devotees, O Lord, you are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna, who has returned among us. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatadi Shatadine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gola Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Vanshakau Patru Vyashta Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namaha. I feel very grateful, a little odd that somehow Krishna has arranged for me to sit here in the company of very exalted and senior God brothers and God sisters, but somehow he's arranged this, so I'm asking for all of your blessings. Before we begin the reading, and I'll share with you what that is. We're going to read how Gopakumar describes his first experience after so many lifetimes of actually seeing Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. And I think that for all of us, that's going to be distracting. I'm sorry. I can't, it's too much, you know, to try to concentrate. It's quite a bit. I'm not so experienced, sorry. So, this Janmashtami day is, all appearance days of the Lord are very, very special. Radhana Swami said that the Lord is appearing actually on this day. So, how do we connect with that experience? Because all of us have so many responsibilities. This is mostly a householder community, so we don't have the benefit of a large group of renunciates who are carrying us with their austerities and their absorption. You know, we really are struggling with family maintenance and work, so many responsibilities. And yet, we wouldn't be here if in our hearts we had not been called by the Lord. Each one of us has been called, and each person here and each person listening has somehow, after so many millions of births in this material world, begun to answer that call. And this is something extraordinary, because as we read in these scriptures, very, very great personalities who, if they stood in front of us, we would be so humbled by their spiritual potency and their purity, had not come, even after lifetimes of practicing extremely serious yoga and meditation, to this path of bhakti. It's very secret, very esoteric and extraordinary. And here we are, struggling with our mind and our senses and taking shelter of so many different things. But somewhere, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who prayed for all of us, which is coming directly from the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, that in this age of Kali, this unusual Kali Yuga amongst thousands of Kali Yugas, that those who are the most fallen will be given the greatest opportunity. And therefore we're sitting here today in this very special assembly, and the seed of bhakti by Prabhupada's grace has been planted in our hearts. And even though we may be struggling in so many ways, we need to know this is not an ordinary seed. It does depend, like seeds that we're familiar with, to grow on how we nourish her. So she can grow slowly, and she can be dormant for a while. But she is a transcendental seed. And once she has been planted in the heart, we can be sure that one day she will grow full and blossoming with fruits and flowers right to the lotus feet of the Lord, which is what all of us want. So we have many experiences when we come to the temple. Not always when we stand in front of their lordships do we feel their presence. Not always when we pick up our japa beads do we feel a connection to Krishna's holy names. Not always when we open the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we understand is the direct incarnation of the Supreme Lord, do we feel comforted. So, why is that? We have, from moment to moment, we've been given free will by the Lord. Now, right now, we're choosing to use our free will to come to the temple. We don't always do that, do we? Sometimes we use our free will in a lot of other ways. So even if we've taken up a steady path of sadhana, sometimes it can become a little ritualistic. So what does it take for it to become deeper? Now, all of us experience anxieties because this material world is certified as a place of suffering and anxiety. How many times have we heard this? So we are creatures of habit, and all of us come different social backgrounds, different countries. When we get stressed, we tend to do certain things. Not all of them are bringing us closer to Krishna. So at some point on our spiritual path, it's very important that we begin to really take in what we have been given. We are told that by absorbing ourselves in Krishna's name, in his form, in his pastimes, the Bhagavatam says we will rise beyond the modes of nature. Anyone here having trouble with any of the modes of nature? Yeah, we are, especially passion and ignorance. So we live in Kali's fortress. America is Kali's fortress. We have been brought up with Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Santa Claus. We've been brought up with a lot of very interesting concepts. The television we watched when we grew up, all of that is there in our biocomputer. We need to make more files up there that are connected to Krishna than are connected to the material energy. So we have some challenge now because everything can be used in Krishna's service, and we see everything coming from Krishna and belonging to Krishna. Just like once the devotees were in the airport with Srila Prabhupada, and there was so many late, there was a lot of problems with the flights, and the devotee was quite frustrated for Prabhupada having to wait and being uncomfortable, and he said, "Srila Prabhupada, one day we will have our own airport." And Prabhupada said, "This is our airport." So we do see everything belonging to Krishna, but how we use it and how we, that's different. So can our computer be seen as a wonderful vehicle to be used in Krishna's service? Sure. Is that all we use it for?
No.
So we have choices. Even after, say, we're committed to our 16 rounds, maybe we come to the temple in the morning or we do some program in the afternoon, we have a tendency to separate the morning from the rest of the day. But it's not like that. When we read about the demons in Krishna Lila, and Krishna came to decrease the burden of the earth, we know also that these demons in Krishna Lila, they also represent anartas in our hearts. And the Lord is ever attentive to helping his, her devotee become free of these anartas. And this is going on all day, whether we realize it or not. Whether we're at work or whether we're here, every single arrangement that happens is coming from Krishna. And how we see the experiences that we go through and where we go to assist us in making it through some of these experiences, which are sometimes extremely difficult, is going to depend how fast that little seed of bhakti grows in our heart. Because Srimati Maya Devi is a very good servant of the Lord. And it is her business to make sure that we don't think this is home. Does anybody here think this is a nice place to live and they would like to come back? She's doing her service really nicely. None of us think this is such a great place we want to come back. We're looking at the Lord, and He's inviting us to come and be part of His world, Goloka Vrindavan. And these appearance days are extraordinary because we all get to come together in ways that we don't usually do. We don't all live in a village. We live in a way that separates us from each other. This is all the arrangement of Kali, because we need each other. This process of bhakti, Srila Prabhupada created these oases in the midst of Kali's kingdom for us to be able to come together and support each other. So with all of the dissension that happens, Prabhupada said, be aware that this movement is transcendental. It can't fall apart unless it falls apart from inside. So Kali has been very, very busy trying to find ways that we will not be there for each other and support each other. Oh, I don't like this person because they're a, and this person is a, and that is, and so there we are all alone with our computer, right? Isn't it, Kali's very, very clever if you think about it, very clever. But when these appearance days come, we tend to come together. And there's a feeling of camaraderie. There's a harmonizing effect because Krishna's in the center. So that's our clue. How do we put Krishna in the center more on a day-to-day basis in a way that we can do having work, having children, having responsibilities? Because that's what we need to do. If we want to have relationships that work and marriages that work and families that work, and if we want to be the potent force for change that Prabhupada spoke about, gave his life for, in the translating of this Srimad Bhagavatam, this direct incarnation of the Lord, meant to turn around, to revolutionize a world's misdirected civilization. How are we going to do that if we're taking part in the misdirected civilization? It's not going to happen. So, Srila Prabhupada suggested, sandwich your day, morning and evening. The same way we take a shower, those who are pujaris, it describes in the deity handbook, they know this, that Brahmins, who are normally the ones engaged in brahminical activity, take showers because it cleanses the subtle body. We've all had this experience that when we've had a very difficult day or we're dirty, it affects our consciousness, doesn't it? It affects us. And then when we take that shower, something changes. The subtle body, there's some cleansing. That's why a cold shower is recommended in the morning, because the subtle body is traveling at night. It picks up so many things. So we want that subtle body cleansed because we want to be able to think of Krishna as much as possible. So we need to cleanse our hearts and we need to cleanse our minds. And if we are associating with the material energy all day, what's going to happen? We're going to pick up things. We're going to forget. I'm Krishna's eternal servant. I'm not this body. I'm not this mind. This person who yelled at me at work is not my enemy. I actually don't know what I did to this soul in another lifetime. My dear Lord, please help me to tolerate. Somehow you're sending this situation to purify my heart. Please help me to tolerate. There is no part of our day that Krishna cannot be a part of. When we leave in the morning, we can have a verse that's our meditation. It carries us through the day, through the traffic jams and the disappointments and the late this, and we couldn't get the kids to school, and now this and that has happened. We need something. We need to take advantage of what we have been given. Now, because I've had to deal with health issues a lot, so some of these examples come from that. Srila Prabhupada said that in this material world, we are infected. So what does that mean to be infected? There are some doctors, and what they do is they go to places where there has been some devastation, diseases, whatever, and they volunteer, they help out. Now you can be sure that doctors who do this are very careful about their own immune system. Sometimes when there has been breakouts of flus, then people are extra careful. Some of them even wear masks. So we are in this material world. This is a place infected by the lower modes of nature, ignorance and passion. We are meant to come to goodness. The Lord is situated beyond goodness. We're not going to be able to approach Him and to come into His world unless we begin to shed these layers of ignorance. So this is an infection. If we don't feel like coming to the temple, and we don't feel like doing service, and we don't feel like picking up the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand the infection is very deep. Fourth stage cancer. We're not going to be able to get rid of it by going to the drugstore and getting an aspirin. It's not going to work. So anyone who's had really, really tough health challenges and has had to do a complete revision of their life, if they've had cancer or something really serious, then they've had to approach it from an emotional standpoint. What is the emotional standpoint that has created this infection to begin with? Our envy of Krishna, our envy of the Lord. That is our disease. So what Srila Prabhupada gave us in these temples is something extraordinary. We don't realize what we have here. Srila Prabhupada translated bhakti as devotional service. 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 We have to engage in service. If we just engage in service in our small unit, which is temporary. And some of us, unfortunately, have had tragic experiences of how temporary that family unit is. Some have lost spouses and some have lost children. Maharaj Parikshit was listening to Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days, and Srila Prabhupada said, "We don't know if we have 7 minutes. What to speak of 7 days?" If we associate with this material energy and we do not take the help and the light of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're going to think that this material energy is everything, and that every day, Guru Janpur was saying, the sun will come up, we will wake up, and one day we'll go on like the next. But that's a lie. That's maya. That's illusion. That isn't true. So where will this intense impetus come in our heart to really make this connection with our Lord if we're not taking advantage of what Srila Prabhupada has given us? How can it come? We need blessings. America is a place of demoniac consciousness. We're sons and daughters of demons. Srila Prabhupada, like Prahlad, came in to deliver us. We were told, just work hard. This person is a friend, this person is an enemy, and this is how you get around this, and this is how you manipulate that. That's how we've been brought up. That's the media that we have seen. That's the books that we've read. And you can have it all, and you can just want it, and you can have it. Whoa. And we listen to people like this, and we read their books. Yeah, I just have to want it enough. I just have to be determined enough. But that's not the case. What do our scriptures say? Yes, you can want it, but what's your credit? You can walk into a 5-star hotel and say, "I want your best room." "Yes, sir." "And it's going to be $300 a night." "Oh, I don't have it." "You don't have it? No room." So it isn't that we can just want something and it happens. And interestingly enough, at the time of death, our whole life comes before our eyes. Do you know what that life review is about? We get to look at all the things that we didn't get, wished we'd gotten, want for the future, and come again to another body. Is that what we want? No. So, how are we going to connect to this beautiful person who is standing here, inviting us in so many ways, inviting us with spiritual food that is lotus mouth is touched and purifying us and protecting us, inviting us through the Srimad Bhagavatam, which gives us a higher vision so we don't get overwhelmed by this heavy, heavy material energy, inviting us through the association of devotees who give us shelter and encourage us when things are difficult and remind us of the truth. So, one of the ways that we can come closer is through service. And we are going to read, don't think I forgot. So, when Lord Chaitanya began to manifest his mood as a devotee, do you know what he did? Does everybody know that he used to do the laundry of the devotees? Anyone here like to do laundry? No. Somebody following the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, jai. So normally this is not something we would offer to do for somebody very much, is it? We don't even like to do it for ourselves. Now, maybe we can't be one of the devotees who spends months meditating on an outfit and hours planning and hours decorating and serving in that way. Maybe our family situation doesn't allow for that. But have we ever thought to call any of these devotees and ask them, is there during festival season, could I make you some khichdi? Do you need your laundry done? Hari Puja Pru has told me, things pile up. It's not the only household that happens. We don't see behind the scenes, but these devotees are making great sacrifices. Maybe we can't go out on book distribution on an Hari Nam, but maybe we could make it easier for somebody else who can, but they have a child, and maybe they need that child babysat. So if we want to create this Vaikuntha atmosphere, which can happen, it can only be created when the mood in our hearts is the mood of service. When as we're interacting with each other, we're thinking, my dear Lord, is there something I can do to be of service to this Vaishnava? And Govardhan Hill is, when Prabhu was saying, he's respected as the greatest of Krishna's devotees. He's a mountain. You never know how Krishna's going to manifest some of his opulences. Those opulences are manifesting in so many devotees in different ways. Krishna has gifted so many devotees. And Govardhan not only serves the Lord directly, but Govardhan serves even the littlest calf who gets to eat the grass on the mountain. And how pleased the Lord is when he sees his servants being served. What a wonderful mood that is. And so the more that we can create that mood in our temples, the more that we're going to find that atmosphere is so conducive for the nurturing of our bhakti, so pleasing to the Lord, so that when we go before him, we see him and he looks at us. You know, this hearing is so important. Bhaktivedanta Swami had such a busy schedule. He used to hear when he was brushing his teeth. You know, no matter how busy our schedule is, Krishna is the time factor. And he can show us how to do things that are mystical. Very, very mystical. We've experienced how time extends when we're suffering, how it seems to go very quickly when we're happy. Time is under Krishna, and it is mystical. I know one devotee who's a pujari. In 15 minutes, she did 50 minutes worth of pujari service somehow. She said that it was the most incredible experience. Something had happened, the pujaris had not shown up, they had asked her to serve the deities, the curtain opened on time, and she just said, if I hadn't experienced it, I would have said, this is not possible. There's devotees, maybe in this very room, who unbeknownst to us in their own lives have performed sacrifices, and the Lord has opened the door. He's shown himself. There's one devotee who's no longer with us. When he used to chant japa, he would see the lotus eyes of the Lord. They're waiting to give us treasures. And we're picking up pieces of broken glass. So if we want to have this experience, we want the reciprocation, we have to go to the Lord. Suchinandana Swami said, when there's a great need for something, it gets utilized. You know, sometimes we just shop and then we pick up this and that and then it ends up being discarded in the corner. But when we go out and we really need something and we get it, we use it right away because we needed it. We need to understand how much we need our Lord. That all of this so-called happiness that we're experiencing in this world isn't going to satisfy our hearts. And in our heart of hearts, we know that. We know that. So we need each other. We need to go to the Bhagavatam. The next time that we're having a day that's really tough, pray to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Pray to Srila Prabhupada. Just say, I'm so used to going to Netflix. I'm so used to going to Google. I don't want this habit anymore. You know, I want to go to you. I just don't have the faith because I'm suffering so much right now. I'm in so much pain. So I'm asking you, please, show me how you're my shelter. Please. Because all of us, our future is very right. We are going to read about what it's like to meet Krishna. And the Lord has gifted us glimpses of himself, or we wouldn't all be still here. And he's got a treasure for all of us today, something special, something, a unique way that he's going to reciprocate with each and every one of us. Just like when the ladies of Mathura heard that Krishna and Balaram were coming. They had been hearing about him for so long, and that's the key. That constant hearing, it begins to slough away the ignorance and passion from our heart. That's the reason we're suffering. It's not because we don't have enough stuff. It's because of ignorance and passion. It's because of the coverings in the heart. So just like in America, we tend to treat the symptoms. You get cancer, they want to blast it out with chemotherapy. Okay, but what's going on underneath? What created it? So we want to get rid of this ignorance and passion. Krishna is all good. Srimati Radharani is so compassionate. We're so concerned with beauty in America. You know what Prabhupada said? He said, if you come and you associate with Krishna, he is all beautiful. You will become beautiful. And isn't it true when we're in the temple and we look around, devotees look beautiful. And sometimes we meet each other in the street, we almost don't even recognize. Have you had that? Sometimes you meet somebody in the street and it's like, oh, okay, yeah. But somehow in the temple, there's some special magic. Krishna's magic. And that magic we can bring into every part of our life and transform our lives. Through hearing, whether we're reading, whether we're hearing, there is something for everyone. This temple is an oasis, which we can take advantage of. There is so much service here. We have our schedules, we have our children, but there are many ways that we can make Krishna a part of our lives. When something wonderful happens, do we come and bring our children? Thank you, my dear Lord. Do we think about the Lord when we're shopping and get an extra little piece of fruit, thinking about how wonderful he is, how he's maintaining us, how much he loves us? So there's many ways we can find to come closer. And he's so waiting for us to come home. He wants this more than anything. That's what these temples are for. You know, these are ports of transportation. We're transported when we come here. And when we come together, it's even more special, and we can do that more. So, we're going to read now. So, the ladies in Mathura, they ran. They were so eager that bhakti had awakened in their hearts. And this can happen to every single one of us here. It is natural for us. This is not something unnatural. Prabhupada said, was asked, why did you come here, Swamiji? We don't need another religion. He said, no, I've come to teach you what you've forgotten. Prabhupada said, this isn't a religion. Is that a surprise to anyone here? Sometimes people say, I don't know what to say. They ask me what my religion is, and I said, Hindu. I didn't know what to say. No, we're not Hindus. This is not a religion. It's a cultural institution meant to transform the impious lives of a world's misdirected civilization. Everyone here is a teacher. Everyone here has a circle of influence in which they can make a difference. Everyone here has something they can give. So the ladies of Mathura, when they ran in the balconies to see the Lord, each one of them was thinking, oh, I hope he looks at me. I hope he looks at me. I hope he looks at me. And when we go and we look at the altar, we're hoping, oh, Krishna, I hope he looks at me. And sometimes we feel him looking, really looking at us. We want that look. You know, we're spending a lot of time to have our and with our families. Did you ever wonder about that? What is it that is special around a family? Somebody looks at us with eyes that are loving, with eyes that know us. When Krishna looked at the ladies, he saw them and his eyes communicated something. I know you. I know you. I know you from time immemorial. And I love you. Isn't that what every single one of us wants to hear? Somebody who knows us and loves us unconditionally through everything. There they are on the altar. And Srila Prabhupada, they love us unconditionally. And every little bit of service we offer, and every time we pick up our beads to chant, and every time we open the Bhagavatam, they are wanting to communicate that love to us directly, to our hearts, if we'd only take advantage. So by great good fortune, Gopakumar is picked up by the Lord. I saw myself being transported to another place along some wonderful path by a vehicle flying faster than the mind and higher than one could imagine. Collecting my wits, I was amazed to see I was passing through Vaikuntha Loka, going beyond. I watched with great delight as I passed Ayodhya and other realms. And I arrived at the shining world above all others, Sri Goloka, which I had long aspired to reach. Everything there appeared the same as in this divine Mathura, Mandala of the material world. In that original land of Mathura, I visited Mathura city. I was surprised and happy to see that it resembled the Mathura here on earth. In that original Mathura, I heard that Kamsa had taken it upon himself to arrest his father and Krishna's parents, Devaki and Vasudeva, and was ruling the kingdom. Out of fear of Kamsa, whose family and friends were enemies of the demigods, the Yadavas dared not enjoy themselves freely. Because of him, they constantly suffered all sorts of affliction. Some of the Yadavas escaped elsewhere, and others took shelter of him. I too was afraid of Kamsa. So as soon as I finished bathing at Vishranti Ghat, I hurriedly left Mathura and went to glorious Vrindavan. In that realm, beyond the reach of all the demigods, planetary rulers and personal attendants of the Supreme Lord. I saw that life was going on, just as here in this Aryabhata country in Bharatvarsha on Earth. The sun was rising, and the other natural events were taking place every day in the sky and on the land. People were speaking and behaving the same as here. I was stunned by astonishment, extreme astonishment, and immersed in an ocean of ecstatic rasa. Simply by seeing them, I felt the same kind of loving affection. Trying hard, I composed myself and respectfully asked them the following questions. O good people, you are served by a happiness so vast that the greatest sages cannot obtain it even in dreams. You are reservoirs of the mercy of the Lord, the husband of the goddess of fortune, mercy for which his loving devotees always pray. Oh, please, please look with kindness upon this most wretched person who has come to you for shelter. Tell me, who is the king of this region? Where is his residence? Which road leads there? Oh, dear, dear, most fortunate people, please be merciful to me, who am asking you with mournful cries. Please give me some answer, O faithful devotees, if even only by a gesture. Oh, please hear the words of this tormented soul. Alas, you must be under the spell of that clever cheat. In this way, I moved here and there, anxiously questioning each person I met. And as I made my way forward, I came to the pasturing grounds of the cowherds. Looking around in all directions, I spotted in the distance a town adorned with the essence of all sweetness. On one side of that town, all about, I heard wonderful songs sung by cowherd women, and the charming sound of the churning of butter and the jingling of bangles. Trying to subdue my agitated joy, I walked forward and came across a seated elderly gentleman, sobbing profusely, incessantly chanting, Krishna, Krishna. With some skillful effort, I made him speak, and I heard him say in a choked voice that this town belonged to Nanda, the king of the cowherds, Sri Krishna's father. As soon as I heard those words, I fainted, overcome with delight. After a moment, that compassionate old man revived me, and I ran ahead and approached the gateway of the town and sat there in the gate. There I saw, by the hundreds of thousands and tens of millions, all sorts of wonders, unseen, unheard of, unimaginable by anyone of this world. Oh, best of the Brahmanas, I couldn't discern whether the people there were enjoying the highest bliss or suffering in the grip of terrible misery. I heard the gopis' songs coupled with their crying, but were they songs of the greatest contentment or the greatest sorrow? I couldn't tell. A person seeing that place might think he was in the material world, but by carefully reflecting on whatever he had seen before, he would understand he was now somewhere above all material planets, all higher non-planetary regions, and all the transcendental realms of the spiritual world. Then an elderly lady came by. I bowed down to her and asked her in a plaintive voice where Sri Nandanandana was playing today. The elderly lady said, this morning, that giver of life to us Vrajvasis went into the dense forest to play with his cows and friends and his respected elder brother. Later at dusk, he will return. All the Vrajvasis are waiting on this path along the Yamuna, their eyes transfixed on the road. These trees stand with leaves erect, eagerly awaiting the chance to see him. Surely he will come along this path. Sri Gopakumar said, as if anointed by a downpour of the purest nectar, I gazed with one-pointed attention down the path the old lady had pointed out. The sheer force of ecstasy had frozen my thighs, but with some effort I moved on, and I heard from afar a certain sound. mixed with the mooing of cows. It was the supremely attractive murmur of Krishna's enchanting flute. That sound, sweet melodies of sportingly played notes, diverse with musical embellishments, was like nothing ever heard in the material world. Its attractive force at once overwhelmed everyone in the cowherd village. By the power of that sound, sap flowed in a downpour from the long rows of trees. A flood of tears fell from the eyes of every embodied being in the village of the cowherds. A shower of milk rained from the breasts of all Krishna's mothers, even the elderly, and the rapid currents of the Yamuna suddenly stood still. I didn't know whether that flute gave out poison or the nectar of immortality, whether its sound was harsh like thunder or soft like water, hotter than blazing fire or cooler than the moon. I couldn't tell. But that sound drove all the Vrajavasis mad. All of them were utterly bewildered. Then I saw some women of Vraj come out of their homes, bearing in their hands things needed to greet Krishna with worship. Others who passed by held ornaments and offerings of food on their heads. Other ladies, ignoring everything around them, ran toward the mingled sounds of the mooing of the cows and the song of the flute. In the frenzy of love for Krishna, the ladies stumbled down the path. Some ladies ran with their ornaments in disarray. Some could hardly keep their belts and hair tied. Some stayed in their homes, stunned like trees, and others fell unconscious to the ground. Some of the women who had fainted, their faces wet with tears and saliva, were carried forward by their girlfriends. Other ladies, pained by the urges of their love for Krishna, went ahead, pressed on by their friends, saying, "Come, see him! Come, see him!" The ladies, so diverse in complexion, and adorned with diverse ornaments and dress, put to shame the good fortune of the goddess of fortune herself. Swiftly the ladies ran to the bank of the Yamuna, absorbed in singing his names and pastimes. I too went forward, as if pulled by someone, joining the throng of gopis, rushing forward on all sides. I too began to run quickly. Then, from a distance, I saw him, his charming flute in hand. Running quickly, he emerged from among his friends and animals and approached me, saying in a sweet voice, "Look, Sridham, here's my friend, the sun who shines on the lotus of your family." Krishna was dressed for the forest. His garments, earrings, and peacock feather crown all swayed to and fro, as did his garland of kadamba flowers. His fragrance perfumed all directions, and his beautiful lotus face blossomed with a playful smile. His lotus eyes beamed with a merciful glance, and the varied assets of beauty decorated him in a singular way. The fingers of his lotus hand busily pushed back the locks of his hair, which flew about, adorned with the dust raised by the cows. His tender divine lotus feet touched the surface of the earth just to grant her the gift of the supreme splendor. Playfully dancing as they moved, they attracted everyone's heart with their great eagerness to walk quickly with large steps. The effulgence of his cloud-colored body, shining with the full sweetness of youth, lit up all corners of the sky. His beauty, which captured the hearts of the ever-dear devotees of Braj, was an ocean abounding with countless excellences. He leaped forward and came close to me, compelled by the affection of his helpless devotee. I fainted in love at seeing him. He caught hold of me by the neck, and suddenly he too fell to the ground. A moment later, I reawoke and carefully freed my neck from his grasp. I stood up and saw him on the ground in a faint, moistening the dust-covered path with his tears. Some gopis came and said, "Look, who has come here? What has he done?
He has put our life and soul into such a state. Alas, we are dead. This must be a servant of that great wizard Kamsa. Lamenting like this, the gopis cried loudly in distress as they surrounded Krishna. Then from behind Krishna, several groups of cowards approached. Seeing him in such a state, they cried with pitiful voices. From afar, Nanda and the other elder cowards heard the terrible sound of crying. So too did Yashoda, ever affectionate to her son. So did the other elder ladies and the maidservants. And together they ran to that place, their feet stumbling on the path. Bewildered, they cried, "Alas, alas!" And the cows and the bulls, they came, and the black deer and the other animals. And seeing Krishna in that state, they wept in agony. All the animals crying in love, their faces drenched with floods of tears, approached Krishna, smelling him, licking him again and again. And birds flew overhead, speaking of the misery with tumultuous sound, like people crying. And the immobile creatures in great pain within seemed suddenly to dry up. What more is there to say? All beings moving and non-being and non-moving were on the verge of death. As for me, I was drowning in an ocean of sorrow. Confused about what to do, severely tormented, I put Krishna's feet on my head. I began to shed tears, sobbing, lamenting. And then Lord Balabhadra, Krishna's older brother, quickly arrived from some distance away, full of fear, white complexion, arrayed in blue ornaments. He appeared charming, for he was the same age as Krishna and is nicely dressed. Lord Balabhadra, that most skillful of persons, cried for a moment, then seemed to regain his composure and looked all around. With great care and attention, he made me hold his younger brother by the neck with his arms. He wiped Krishna's beautiful limbs clean with my hand and made me loudly call out to him with many plaintive cries. Then he made me lift Krishna up from the ground. Suddenly, Krishna opened his eyes, sealed till then by a flood of tears. Seeing me, he joyfully embraced and kissed me. And then he looked around and became embarrassed. That best of lords took my hand in his own left lotus hand, and received me as a long-lost bosom friend. He asked me questions, and then he greeted all the people of Vraj and entered the best of cowherd villages with the gait of an elephant. The forest animals, being separated from him and unable to go anywhere, stood at the entrance of the village, ready to spend the entire night there in the hope of seeing their lord again the next morning. Dear Lord, your mercy is a great wonder, non-different from you. It is pure eternity, knowledge, and bliss. It can empower me to always remember and glorify you in pure love. It can obtain for me your loving sidelong glance. It can enable me to see you immersed in the company of the cows and the cowherd boys and girls. Thus, for helpless persons like us, it is the ultimate resort of all hopes. Your wonderful mercy is ancient and eternal, but also ever new and fresh. To your mercy, again and again, we offer our obeisances. Jayati janani vaso devaki janma vado yudubara parishat svayad hurbhim asyan hadharmam stira chara vijinagna susmita shimukhena brajapura vinitanam bhardhyam kamadhevam.
Lord Sri Krishna is he who is known as Jananivas, the ultimate resort of all living entities. He was also known as Devaki Nandana or Yashoda Nandana, the son of Devaki and Yashoda. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty, and with his mighty arms he kills everything inauspicious, as well as every man who is impious. By his presence he destroys all things inauspicious for all living entities, moving and inert. His blissful, smiling face always increases the lusty desires of the gopis of Vrindavan. May he be all glorious and happy. Jai. Janmashtami Mahamahotsava ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vaishnava Sangha ki jai. We have a request. We would like to have kirtan, bhajans in the temple all day for the pleasure of the deities. And we know this is a day a lot of people go to work and have, you know, families to attend to, school. So if you would like to do this, Mahatma Prabhu, you're going to come now to chant. We're going to begin. So right after, we're going to begin kirtan immediately. And whoever would be able to chant today, if you could come and see me and let me know what your schedule is. If you have some times that you're not going to be able to be here, sometimes you are, then we can work that out. Okay, thank you so much. Hari Hari Bol.